Good to see you here this morning. It's always a good day in which we have the opportunity to be together as God's family and to worship our Father. I'm so excited about the week that is upon us. You know, every day is a good day because it's the day that the Lord has made and we should rejoice. But I look especially forward to this week as we are having 9 young men that have chosen to give a week of their summer vacation with the purpose of coming here and learning better how to serve God. Folks, we should honor them and encourage them and tell them what a wonderful thing they have decided to do. And I thank them for that. And I look forward to being with them all week and helping them and helping show them how to serve as preachers in the Lord's church. We need more. And we need a lot of young men wanting to be just that. And I'm thankful for these men. I'm also thankful for those people that have helped so much in our preparation. I began with the elders and their foresight and agreeing to do this last year and us being able to move forward with their guidance and with their encouragement. And I'm thankful to them as always. I'm also thankful for Andy, who is the assistant director and has helped me. And we've been talking about this for a long time and getting ready. And now it is time. And, you know, I guess every plan survives until the first bullet fires, as they say in battle sometimes. So we'll see how the plan goes from this afternoon forward. I also want to thank Matthew Waters as well, who's going to be on the staff with us this week. As well, we have Brother Ken Hicks, who is a minister in Western North Carolina, and also Brother Stephen Guy from Myrtle Beach, and thankful to them. And then I cannot leave out, because, you know, my wife and Marsha Chambly and Tammy Bush for feeding all of us. You know, it's a tough job to feed preachers because we love to eat. And but they are doing an excellent job of preparing for feeding us every day. And so we're thankful to them and their hard work and preparation that they have made. But it's going to be a great week. Be here and join in with us on the times that we have available for everyone to be here. And I'm sure that you will be blessed. But also, please pray. Pray for us and pray for these young men. And pray for all young men that might have an interest and would desire to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might be encouraged by other members of the Lord's church, and that they may move forward in that goal. You know, we hear stories in the news sometimes about children being lost. And it touches our hearts. I remember even when I was a small child about children being lost. You know, there were children lost that had fallen down wells, or children that were lost out in the wilderness and the woods. But, you know, we hear about when children are lost, when they've gone missing. And when that takes place, entire communities will mobilize. And they will go out and in droves of, you know, hundreds of people will come. And they're not just from that community, but people will come from other states and come in and help find a child that is lost. They will search and they will search and they will search day and night, hot or cold, rain or shine. They will search to try to find that lost child. You know, sometimes we hear about people that are lost at sea when there are storms out on the ocean and boats sink and the Coast Guard goes out and they may search for days for somebody, even beyond that point where feasibly, they're probably not going to still be alive, but they'll keep searching for them because we have a hope. We have a desire to save those people. I remember, on a very personal note, I remember when I was the family minister at Bear Valley, and one of our elders, his son and his two grandsons went out to hike on a mountain trail in the Rocky Mountains near Durango, and sunset came and they were not back home. Sunrise came, and they were not back home. And people began to search for them, and the call went out, and we prayed, and some left, you know, Denver and went to Durango to help search for them. Another day passed, another sundown and sunrise passed, and they still were not found. Folks, you can't survive long in the mountains without any provisions. And they had gone out just to walk for a couple of hours and had only taken some bottles of water with them. And it wasn't until that next day, 2 days later, that they were finally found. And they were okay. a little dehydrated, pretty hungry, but they were okay. But it was such a heart-wrenching feeling. It was so hard to talk to Brother Maynard about it because he was so worried, so concerned as to where his son and grandsons were because they were lost and that someone needed to seek them. You know, we want to find those people. We want to find those people that are lost in order to prevent them from perishing as a result of being lost. You know, if you're lost too long in the mountains, you're going to die. If you're lost too long at sea, you're going to die. If a child is lost too long, he will perish. Jude writes to us and says in Jude 23 that we literally save people. We save people that are lost and we are snatching them spiritually from the fire. And you know, if we do not do that, if we do not seek those lost people, if we do not try to find those lost people, they will perish in that fire. You know, just like all the instances that have just mentioned of people being lost in our community, in our world, these people are lost. But they're lost in a way that is far worse than being lost in the mountains or at sea or in some other way. They are lost spiritually. And their perishing is far worse than even death. For it entails eternity away from God. You know, God calls us to seek the lost. Jesus stated that His mission in coming to this earth, He said, the Son of Man came. So Jesus is saying, this is why I'm here. This is why I left heaven. This is why I came to earth. The Son of Man came that He might seek and save that which is lost. That was His goal. That was His purpose upon this earth, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Have you ever thought about the mission of your Christian life? You know, the mission of your Christian life is not just to get yourself to heaven. If your mission in your Christian life is just to get yourself to heaven, then you will fail because your mission is not right. Our mission is to seek and to save the lost, and such cannot be done passively. It has to be done with action. And when we think about our mission as being to seek and save the lost, let me tell you what, the first person you have to seek and save is yourself. And then there's a lot of other lost that should follow. But you got to begin at home. Jesus said to get the beam out of your own eye right before you go picking specks. So we got to start at home. But our mission is to seek and save the lost. Is for not only me to get to heaven, but for me to take as many as I can with me, to take hold of their hands and snatch them from the fires of lostness. You know, if your child was lost, you know, we as I said, you can't do this passively. You have to do this with determined action. It has to be something you're determined to do. You know, if your child was lost in the mountains, would you just sit back and say, I hope by my desire and my love that my child will be found? I'm not going to look for them. Surely their knowledge of my love and the example that I've set for them will bring them home. Is that what you'd do? Or would you be out there in the mountains? Would you be out there seeking them? Searching for them? Of course you would do. You would be out there seeking for them. Yet sometimes when we deal with the lost, we say things like, well, I hope by my actions and my example and in my prayer for them that the lost will be saved, but we never actually go out and we never actually search and we never actually seek that which is lost. Think about what Jesus said concerning seeking the lost in Matthew chapter 18 in verses 12 through 14. Our Lord and Savior says this, what do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. Now in context, this is talking about the kingdom. It's talking about the church. And the little ones in this text, while the Lord's discourse begins with a small child that He places before them, He says, you need to be like this child. He uses the child as an example at the very beginning of what we must be. The little ones at this point is not about children, but children of God of any age. God doesn't want any of His children, any of His little ones, to be lost. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, seeks lost sheep. And as we seek to be like Him, we too must be people that seek lost sheep. God's desire to bring back those who leave the church is based on His desire to bring all lost to Him. For when someone leaves the kingdom, when someone leaves the church, someone leaves the flock of Jesus Christ, they go back into a lost condition. They then become the focus of God's desire for all lost people to be saved. Now they need to come back home. And there are others that just need to come to God for the first time and obey the gospel. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says that God does not wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance, right? That is God's desire to seek and to save the lost. That is God seeking the lost. Every page of the Bible is God seeking the lost that He might save them. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth." As Christians, we have been raised up. We have been raised up in baptism with Christ. We are to seek the things that Christ seeks. He seeks the lost. We cannot be like Him if we reject the heart of who He is, if we reject the fundamental reason why He came, why He lived His life upon this earth. If we reject that fundamental reason in our lives, we can never be like Him. We cannot expend most of our energy in earthly pursuits and expect to be faithful to Christ's mission, which is about spiritual things above. We become like those that Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21, seek after their own interest, not those of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, if all we're doing is what I want for me to do, or what I like to do, or what I'm comfortable doing, or what is the things of the world, my work, my money, my play, if that's all I'm concerned with, I'm not seeking the things of Christ. If all I'm doing is seeking another dollar, or another plaything, or another reward, or another point of prestige, I seek the things of the earth and not the things of Christ. I must seek the lost. Being soul-focused is being Christ-focused, because Christ is soul-focused. Everything Christ did, from His determination to die before the foundation of the world to His coming to this earth, living, dying, rising, and ascending, all of it was because He was soul-focused. That He was focused on saving souls. That's what we're trying to get ourselves to think more about this year. And that is that we have a need to be soul-focused. To be focused on my soul and on the souls of my brothers and sisters and on the souls of certainly all the countless numbers of lost out there. He desires us to follow in His footsteps, Jesus Christ does. He desires us to be people seeking the lost. All in this world have sinned. Everyone in this room that is of the age of accountability has sinned, and they have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us have left the narrow path in some way that leads to eternal life, and we have jumped over on the broad way that leads to eternal destruction, according to Matthew chapter 17 and verses 13 through 14. Let me tell you, folks, there are many people trying to get to heaven, and they're doing so conscientiously and they're doing so sincerely, but are not on the right path. They are lost, and they do not know how to get there. They need someone to show them the way, someone to seek them and bring them home. You know, just like, and I mentioned to you, Brother Maynard's son and his grandson, you know what happened to them? They turned off and got on the wrong path. And they were literally going away from the camp instead of toward it. That's what happened. And they needed someone to find them. Otherwise, they were not going to make it. See, they were conscientiously and sincerely trying to get home, but they couldn't get home on the path that they were on. There's a lot of people out there that can't get home on the path they're on. They just don't realize it. They need someone to find them and show them the way. You know, they need someone like a Philip See, that Ethiopian eunuch on that road that day that Philip came up to his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. He was seeking, wasn't he? He wanted to know more about God, but he didn't know the way. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else? See, he didn't know, did he? Do you understand it? How can I unless somebody teach me? I don't know the path. I need someone to tell me the path to get on, to get home. And Philip preached to him Jesus. And he found the path, didn't he? He found that narrow way that leads to eternal life. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Sometimes we're in Apollos. In Apollos, while he was a great preacher and obviously was doing, was very powerful in his message, he didn't have the right message. He was still preaching the baptism of John the Baptist. He had the wrong message. He had the right heart. But he had the wrong message, didn't he? And it took two people seeking him, Aquila and Priscilla, to sit down with him and show him more perfectly the way. And then what a gospel preacher he became, because someone sought him and brought him to the right path. See, he was lost, but he was able to be found and brought to Jesus Christ. Why? Because someone sought him. They were seeking the lost. We should always be seeking the lost, and that is what the Great Commission is commanding us when it tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that Christ has commanded us. That's soul seeking. And that's our purpose. Oftentimes, we need to examine why we do that, though. You know, we don't do it because we have to. Well, the church is going to have a door knocking day. I have to go, or people talk about me, right? Oh, heavens, if that's your attitude, don't come. Because that'll just be portrayed to the people you talk to. You know, we don't do it because we have to do it. We don't do it because others expect us to. Well, people might say something if I don't go. If I don't invite somebody to church, right? We don't do it because simply the Bible commands us to. It's deeper than that. Now, we do it because of that. You better do it because the Bible commands it. But that's not our sole reason. It's got to be deeper than that too, folks. We can do a lot of things the Bible commands us to and still do them wrong, can't we? Isn't that what Jesus taught? That there's more to than just following the commands. There is an aspect of what is within us that has to do with it. How I feel about it, what's in my heart. See, there is this aspect of spirit and truth. There is this aspect of what I do for the doing it for the right reasons. Even if it is a commandment of God, I have to do it for the right reasons. Or I can nullify any benefit that it might have. You know, Jesus made that clear that religious obedience without the heart is useless. You know, we must have our heart have the right reasons if we want to have or be right with God. What is the reason we seek the lost then? Folks, it's because we love them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Folks, there, if I want to be like God, I have to love the world. See, sometimes we just want to be like God in the ways that are easier to us. I'm a nice person. I'm a compassionate person. I'm a kind person. But are you a loving person to everybody? Not just the people. Remember what Jesus said? Don't. If you just love those that love you, you're nothing special. Everybody does that. Even the worst Gentile does that, right? But if you love those that don't love you, that makes you godly. That makes you like Christ. So we love the world. We love people. We do not want to see them lost. That's the truest motivation. That's the most powerful motivation. That's the most effective motivation. You know, we seek Christ by seeking the lost, by being soul focused. And this is the truest reflection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All other efforts pale in the light of this one because it requires all that Jesus was and is. See, we must have love for the lost as our Lord had love for the lost. We must have compassion for the suffering, for those that are suffering in sin, just as Jesus had compassion for those that suffer. Remember Matthew chapter 23? the Lord looked at the city of Jerusalem and all the sin and the rejection of God that were taking place. In fact, he's just a short time away from them actually putting him to death there. And he weeps over the city. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I would have gathered you, sought you. How I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. Oh, he had such compassion for them. Compassion for the very people that nailed him to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We have to have compassion for the lost. We have to have sacrifice of self to help another. I just don't have time. Well, we have time for a lot of things, folks. I have to bite my tongue when I get ready to say that too. Because, you know, I have a lot of times to do things that just isn't worth a hill of beans, as my mother said. And please, someone, if you know what that means, tell me. I do a lot of things that are worthless in the grand scheme of things. I spend time doing them. So I have time. So seeking the lost is self-sacrifice, just as our Lord sacrificed himself upon the cross for the lost. It is to sacrifice things I might want to do for that which I need to do out of love. You know, it requires grace. Grace even to those that we may look at and say they don't deserve my mercy or my compassion or my help. Folks, you didn't deserve what Jesus Christ did. Be careful where we put ourselves in the deserving scale. It requires us to have the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mercy on those who need to be snatched from the fire. Folks, they're going to be lost for eternity. You can save them from a house fire out here, and you save them for a moment. They're going to die later again. But, you know, they're going to die at some later time. But we're talking about eternity, folks. There is no saving them once they're there. We've got to save them now. We've got to snatch them out. We've got to have the kindness of our Lord. Kindness for one who cannot find a home. One who needs home. One who needs his Father. We've got to seek him. That's our job. That's what Christ has called us to do. See, you cannot be like Christ if you do not actively seek the lost. There are many lost. May we seek them. May we bring them home to God. That is his will for us. Now tonight, as we begin Preacher's Camp officially, it'll be beginning this afternoon, but tonight will be our first service of it. I'll be talking about the good soul. And I know somebody's saying, wait, Nathan, that was the last part of that parable. Yes, it was, but we're doing that at the first. But I'm going to talk about these good souls that are out there. Because, folks, they're all around us. They're all around us, and so often we've got our seed in our pocket, and we're not casting it anywhere. We're called to sow the seed, to throw it on every piece of ground that we can find and hopefully find that good soul. We're going to talk about that tonight. I hope that you'll be back for that and be back for the beginning of our camp and to stay for our Meet the Campers fellowship afterwards. This morning, if you are not child of God, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we long for you to do so. We love you. I don't want you to obey so that you can be a part of the Cary Church, so I can say, well, we got another one. I don't want you to be saved to be a part of the Cary Church. I want you to be saved to be a part of the Lord's Church. I didn't die for you. I probably haven't done much of anything for you. But he's done everything for you. And he invites you home. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me. This morning I invite you to come to him. To obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. To believe in him. To repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. And be buried in baptism. Having your sins washed away there. To rise to be a redeemed child of God. To walk a new life. A life that is about souls. A life that is trying to get as many people to heaven as we can possibly do. If you are here this morning, you understand what you need to do in regards to becoming a child of God, please do it. If you do not understand and you want to know more, we want to help. We want to sit down with you and show you what God's Word says, not what we think or what men have said, but what God has said. We want to show you that so that you can respond to Him. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe as we think about that parable that we read at the very beginning about the sheep, maybe you're a one that has strayed away. Jesus is seeking you. He's longing for you. Let Him find you. Come home. If we can assist you in that, we want to do so. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. But we first ask that you repent to God and confess your sins to Him and know that He will forgive you. And we'll help you move your life forward as we're supposed to do. This morning, if we can assist you in any way spiritually, won't you let us? Ask together, we stand as we sing. Thank you.